Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
If you want to turn in your Bibles and just follow along the screen, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. We are just a little over 6 months into 2025. Hard to believe that half of this year, over half now, is already gone. And I felt like today, I feel like a coach going in to talk to his team at halftime, reminding his team, you know what to do. You know how to do it. You've won many, many times. You know how to win. You know how to be victorious. You know what the goal is. You know how to do it, to perform it. It's still about souls. It'll always be about souls. But our focus for the next 6 months is not going to be like, well, we put a good 6 months in. You don't win by playing half a game, by playing the halftime. You got to play that second half. And you know what? Anybody who loves sports, you know something they love better than anything? Is a good second half comeback. There ain't nothing like watching a team that looked like didn't know what they were going to do, but they come out the second half, and man, they start performing, and they start doing. Now, I'm not saying we hadn't been doing our job for 6 months. Don't read into that and be like, Pastor, just beating us up this morning. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. But I have seen a lot of games lost in the second half because they thought we got such a lead in the first half that we just won't do nothing the second half. We'll forget we even know how to play and blow a big lead and then stand around crying at the end wondering, how did that happen? How did we lose? I surely don't want to be standing at the end of this game saying, how did we blow it? How did we blow it? All power in heaven and earth dwells inside of us in his name. How did we blow it? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. How did I blow it? God's given me victory. How did I blow it? So I want to remind us today before we leave this place, we still got time left on the clock. And we can't sit back and coast. Because our enemy, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. We're entering into times where Jesus said, don't be deceived. We're entering into a time where he said, they'd say Christ is here and Christ is there. They're going to try to take that very name that you trust in and deceive you with it. Try to lead you astray by the very name that you claim to love. This is when you hunker down. This is when you realize we still got some time on the clock. We got some stuff to do. But this is the church. This is the church victorious. This is the church called by his name. We are the church of the living God. And we got a mission. We got a mission. Praise God. Oh, I tell you, God's good. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is the day of Pentecost that God poured his spirit out on all flesh. Peter has preached a tremendous message and has instructed them about the new birth. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And in verse 41, we read the response, the reaction, and what continued. Something needs to happen when the word's preached. Something always happens when the word's preached. The Lord said, my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Woo! The Lord sent Peter that day to preach a message, not just for people to have a good church service and go back to their cities and say, wow, wasn't that great? I believe I'll go back next year. That's what we do with our vacation spots. That was a great time. I believe I'll go back next year. But he said, you're fixing to get something that's going to affect you every day for the rest of your life. And not just you, but all them that hear you. God's done something in your life that's going to carry you through. It wasn't just that one-time experience, but it's something for every day. Give me this day my daily bread. Lord, I want what I need for today and tomorrow. So after he preached, it says, then they that gladly received his word. You see, it's not always everybody. He said there's some that will gladly. Somebody's looking for a change. Somebody's looking for a miracle. Somebody's looking for something to be different. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then they said, that's all. That's enough. I ain't got nothing else to do. No, no, no. And they that gladly received the word, and they that were baptized, and they that were added to the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Quit trying to go off by yourself and isolate. You need the fellowship of the saints. You need the fellowship of the house of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. Somebody say, we were together. All that believed were together. They got together. They were already in one place, but they were together. I'm in this with you. I hear what he's saying. We in this together. I believe, yeah, but I'm not going to wander off by myself. I want to get together with another believer. I want to get together with the body. I want to get together with the church. I want to get together with the plan of God. I want to get together. And they had all things common. Now, let me just finish reading. I'm going to have to come back because I'll keep you standing all afternoon while I preach. And they sold their possessions and goods. They parted to all men and as every man had need. And they continued daily. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. You see, you word people ain't going to like you for being in church, but he said the church had favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I'm going to pull from verse 44 this title today, and all that believed were together. All that believed were together. Would you set your Bibles down for just a moment? Lift your hands to the Lord. Let's pray together for the preaching of the word today. Father, we love you and honor you in this house. And we believe in the church that you're building. And Lord, we are here today together to hear what the Spirit would say to his children. Father, today let us hear the word. Let us have ears to hear it. Let us have a heart that's ready to receive it. And let us have feet ready to obey it. God, we're going to praise you for everything said, done, give you the glory, for you alone are worthy. We ask it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good and shout to God today. Hallelujah. If you're glad to be a part of the church, come on, if you're glad to be a part of the church, if you're glad to be blood-bought and spirit-filled, hallelujah, aren't you glad to be a part of the winning team? Glory to God. You can be seated. God bless you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all that believed were together. We love together. In Scripture, in a spiritual sense, we love that because we know that when two or three get together, according to Matthew 18, where there's two or three gathered together in His name, He said, there am I in the midst. That's what Jesus would tell His disciples, that he was trying to stop isolation from the beginning. Don't ever think you got this and now you can just go off and hide by yourself. You need to be together with somebody. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have your own personal prayer time and that God doesn't commune with us as individuals when we are in prayer. But there are some things that are going to have to happen outside your prayer closet. Yeah? There's some things that need to happen. He didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two, preaching and doing miracles and signs and wonders. He intended on people, His saints, to be together because He knows that we are a body. And a body does not have interchangeable, Brother Adam. Everybody don't have that, but He's Superman. He's the bionic man. But you know what I'm saying? That God designed the body that was connected. And that's what He is talking about in the Scripture, that we are fitly joined together. And even sometimes there's a body, and it might have something that looks like, well, it don't go there, but it has to connect to Brother Adam so he can walk on it. It's attached. If it wasn't attached, he couldn't use it. God's going to bring people in that don't look like the body, but they're going to work like the body. Hello. God knows what He's doing. God knows who He's getting. God knows who He's reaching for. That day, there were people, devout men, said they were from all nations. They were differences there. They didn't all look the same. They didn't all talk the same. They didn't all sound the same. But they were all going to be in the same body because they were going to all receive that same Spirit. And we're all baptized into one body by one Spirit. We are together. Somebody say, hey, we're together. I need somebody to get together with the preacher today. Hello? I need you to get together with your pastor and hear what I'm saying. We have a mission, and the mission is greater than our individual cares and causes. The mission to save souls, to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, to preach the gospel, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Hello? You might never go across the globe, but honey, there's enough people in your workplace and in your school and in your own family that need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, when there's two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Him just being there don't mean something's going to happen. Jesus went to his hometown and could not do many mighty miracles because he was there, but they quenched the Spirit. When we gather together in His name, He's here. But oh, God forbid that we simply make Jesus a spectator of our service. We got to get together. We got to get in one mind and one accord. It's got to be something unanimous. We're here for a reason. I'm not here just to put on a show for the Lord, but I'm here so I can release my faith in Him and He can begin to work in this place. I can't do nothing without Him. He said it Himself. Without me, you can do nothing. I got to be there, but you got to do something. You got to let me loose. Don't quench the Spirit. You said, we can't hold God back. We couldn't. If He wanted to force His way through, He could, but He won't. He's not going to. He don't break doors down. He knocks at them. That's what He said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll hear my voice, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word. if you'll hear my voice and open, and then not faith and works. You got to have faith and works. Faith without works is dead. Oh, I heard him calling. Then why didn't you open the door? My wife was on it when they were up here. She said, God wants to move right now. Something's going on in here. The Spirit of the Lord's in here. Just got to open the door. Well, will I be out of order? Is somebody going to look at me? Honey, look all you want. If I got a need, I want to be like Bartimaeus and just start crying out. Son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, why don't you hush? Why don't you hush? I got a need. I need something happening in my life, so I'm going to cry out to him. You're not out of order crying out to God. We've lost some church skills down the ages. We've forgotten that in this house, we're supposed to be crying out to God. We're supposed to be praying, not just at a certain point in the thing, but this is a house of prayer. This is a house dedicated to his name. And I don't want to lose any of the skills that God has given to the body to cry out for a need, to intercede for somebody, to stand in the gap, to pray and to minister in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord where sacrifice went on. In the house of the Lord where intercession went on. In the house of God where the glory came down. He tore the veil so we could go in. He tore the veil so we could have access. Ain't no access denied in here unless we're not together. I'm not just talking about being in the same room. Are we together? He said, and all that believed were together. Jesus said that we are workers together with him. That's who, well, Paul wrote that, but we know Jesus desired that we are workers together with him. We must all believe and we must all be together. We must all have unity. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, this is how that day started. I think I gave you that scripture, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. He didn't just say they were all in one place, but he said they were all in one accord. The Greek word there, accord, means unanimously and with one mind. He didn't say a majority. He said they were all in one accord. It was unanimous. We're here because, listen, they were there because they heard what Jesus said. Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Go and tarry for the promise that you have heard of me. And so when they were in that upper room and they were praying and tarrying, nobody was thinking about lunch. Nobody was thinking about who's winning the game. Nobody was thinking about getting to the fishing hole. But friend, they were talking about, what's the promise? When's it coming? We're here to receive something. God said he was going to pour it out, and I'm here in the house today to receive something. They were waiting on the very first outpouring of the Spirit of God, and they were in one mind. It was unanimous. It wasn't just a majority. It wasn't 9 out of 10 or 119 out of 120, but about 120 said, we're ready for it. And I wish we could get back to coming to the house of the Lord. And when we walk in this place, that we could just forget about everything else that's going on the outside for just a little while and get in one mind. I wish we could get in one accord. I wish we could just come in and say, you know what? My troubles, they might be there when I walk out, or God might take care of them in here. But I've come to worship God. I come to be a blessing in the house of the Lord. I come to connect with my brother. I come to connect with my sister. And I come to get something from the Holy Ghost. I come to get something from God. What about souls? What about it? He added 3,000 souls to the church. When they came together in one mind and one accord, when it was unanimous, the reason that we're here, he told them, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Oh, don't let me forget that the Holy Ghost is for more than just speaking in tongues, but it's so that I can be a witness and reach somebody in this world. God has empowered, equipped the body to reach others. He gave us feelings. He gave us sensations. He gave us these hands and feet for a reason. He gave us that mouth, these eyes, and these ears for a reason. I can reach out and I can lay hands on somebody and see them recover. I can take somebody by the hand and help lift them up. I can speak a word of encouragement to somebody. I can listen to somebody and have compassion on them. I can see with my eyes. Lord, Jesus lifted up his eyes and looked over the city. I can look over the people and God can speak to my mind and say, this is what we need to say to the body today. This is what they need. We're not blind. Faith doesn't make you blind. I wish people would quit saying that. Faith doesn't make you, we walk by faith and not by sight, but faith doesn't make you blind. And we can see sometimes just in the natural what's going on, what's happening in the world, what's happening in our life. And God was adding to the church. Now you think about it. He called 12 disciples and they walked with him. That 12 became 11. Oh man, that's a step back. But then they added one back. God's always going to fill it. If it was supposed to be 12, it'll be 12. Don't worry about when it looks like the number goes backwards sometimes. It's about to come up because it went from that 12. It was 12, and then it was 11. Well, then it was about 500, but then it went down to 120. But then it went to 100, that 12 was restored. They put one back. Numbers here, number there, number here. But then it went to 3,000. 3,120. God knows what he's doing. He's adding to the church. It was about souls. And if we're going to win souls, you know, Brother Kinsey said this a lot this week. He said, ain't no Lone Rangers in this. You know who the Lone Ranger is? Well, I like to go rogue. I like to work on my own. I'm the Lone Ranger. Well, the Lone Ranger had Tonto. When he was by himself, he always got in trouble. Here come Tonto in there to cut the rope and get him off the railroad track before the dynamite blew up and killed him. You know, you better be glad two are better than one, the Lord said. You better be together with somebody. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. We got to be together, church. This is who we are. It wasn't just a majority vote. It wasn't everybody that agrees with this spirit following and say, aye. They were all in unanimous about what was going to happen. And they were tarrying at the word of Jesus. And that word of Jesus, it took precedence in their individual lives. I don't know how long that they were there, how many hours, but they had to set aside some things so they could get to that place to receive what God wanted them to have. And we've got to get back to the habit of setting aside our personal agenda sometimes so we can let God pour into us what he wants to pour into us. We've got to stop blocking the blessings of God with worldly things. And I'm not against having family time and vacations and things like that. All that stuff's good in its place. But when I can't come to church because I've set so many other things in front of me, how can I get together with the body that God put me in? How can I get together with my congregation? How can I connect to my brothers and sisters when everything else comes before? But these people, they dropped their nets. They would lay down their stuff. That one woman left her water pot. Man, people would just leave stuff and say, I just need what God's got for me. The mission that they were on, it took precedence. And it wasn't just that 120, but Jesus said this principle will be for everyone who believes in this gospel. This is going to be for everybody. Everybody. They were in one accord, unanimous. Keep going. And so we must all believe. We got to be believers, but we got to be together. We can't just be a bunch of individual believers, isolated. Like we got to, you know, that's the worst thing they try to do to us in 2020. Let's isolate them. Let's separate them. Let's create distance. And I get it. I understand it was for health reasons, and we even obeyed some of that. We moved our chairs, those other seats we had. We moved. We created the gaps. We did those things. And stuff, but then I started realizing creating a disconnect. And then people started realizing, I don't like this. I remember we started having that early service so our elders could come in and have church first because we was worried about them. And I remember they stopped me in the foyer one day and said, Pastor, when can we start coming to regular church? Oh. I said, well, we want y'all to be, we're tired of not being in church with our people. And they started, they were like, get us back into regular service. So we stopped doing two services, started going back to one service, and we survived. And God took care of us. And I believe in using common sense. I believe in using wisdom and things like that. I believe that. But I'm not going to let anything tear the church apart. I'm not going to let anything come in and try to dissolve what God's put together. We talk about in marriage what God has joined together. Don't let any man put us under. Well, we're the bride. He's the groom. And I'm not letting anything come between the bride and the groom. We've got to stay together if we're going to win souls. They would have never seen 3,000 souls added. Never would have happened if they had not been unanimous in one accord. Not just in one place, but the purpose was there in front of them. They knew why they were there. They knew what they had to do. And we catch glimpses of this so good. This week at camp meeting, man, people just that didn't even know each other in the altars, hugging, praying for one another, speaking words of faith, just unity. It was so beautiful, and that's wonderful, but it shouldn't just happen at camp meeting. That should be in our Tuesday night prayer, our Wednesday night Bible study. That should be in our small groups. It should be in our Sunday service. We should see that kind of unity all the time. We got to be together. All that believed were together. Do you believe it? How many believe we ought to be together? Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. You believe it's together? We've got to continue. We must have unity. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. But says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. He said, Timothy, make sure you check yourself. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you'll save yourself and them that hear thee. You start disconnecting from the doctrine, you're disconnecting from the body. Because the church on that day of Pentecost was at its most perfect time ever in the history of the church. They had time to make no mistakes. They had no time to do nothing wrong. It was just the church born. It said, and after they received this, after they believed this, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed with it. And that's why 3,000 people were added, because they just kept doing it. It helped them and it helped others. You're not going to help anybody else by hiding what you believe. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, don't you think other people need that too? He didn't give it to you and I just because we were special. That's simply the apostles' doctrine. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you. Well, my co-workers don't believe like that. That's okay. But they might if you ever talk to them about it. The people I go to school, they don't believe like that. But they might if you talk to them about it. Well, my family, They might want their Brother Dusty. They might start seeing it. Me and Brother Dusty have been talking about some family members he's been talking with, and it's been over a little bit of time, and he said, he's starting to see some things. It's coming around. But if Brother Dusty would have just said, nah, I don't want to bother him. He goes to church. So he knows he goes to church. You meet them where they are. And you tell them about the Lord, and you tell them about this doctrine, because if you're going to save anybody, if anybody else is going to be saved through your witness, it's because you continued in what saved you. Second half, we can't slack. We've got to keep telling people about Holy Ghost and fire. We've got to keep telling people about this apostolic doctrine. We've got to keep telling people about the new birth, The provision was there on the day of Pentecost. It was the birth of the greatest revival that the world would ever see. We talk about a great revival coming now, but man, I would have loved to have seen that revival that was going through all the countries at that time, and just people traveling and going and telling, and people getting baptized off of chariots in the desert. Man, cities having great revival, people casting out devils, healing the sick. Man, people were just coming to the Lord by the thousands. It can happen today. If the church can get in one accord, if we're not just in one place, we can get in one place and have some throwdown church. I'm talking about hot sweat. I'm sweating now, dying. Hot, tired, sweating. Calves aching from jumping. Carpet burns from running and falling across the floor. Where's he at? Oh, he ain't here today. Bless him, Lord. He's not feeling well. But what I'm talking about, we could just have stuff where we walk away going, wow, what a service. And then if we were to say, but did anything happen in me? Well, I got hot. If all I'm doing is sweating, that ain't enough. Something needs to be happening to me every time I come in this place. I need to be getting some faith. I need to be getting encouraged. I need to be getting refilled. I need to be getting recharged. I need to walk out of here saying, that's what I needed today. That's what was happening in the church. Because they were in one mind and one accord. Not just in one place. But for anybody that says we don't have to gather together, they were in one place. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as we see the day approaching. I wouldn't miss church in this day and hour for nothing, because God's doing something in this hour. I want to be a part of it. And so all these thousands of people baptized into one body by one Spirit. The Spirit had been poured out. But even then, would they receive what had happened? Would they accept this unifying factor? Some of them, so unsure of it that they just begin to mock it. But a little later, after the preaching, they believed it and received it. And it says, and they were together. They were sharing. They were believing. They had fellowship. They were praying for one another, looking out for one another, all focused in the same direction, all in one accord. And they launched the church that would change the world. One place said those that have turned the world upside down have come to our city. They were turning the world upside down. But it would not happen without unity. They had to be together. There was now a bond there with them that held them together. The bond of the Spirit. They were baptized into the body by the Spirit. It's something different. We are on the brink right now. The world is crazy. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence. I was reading about an article yesterday about these viruses and things that are going around. People just dropping dead, man. It's happening. Things are happening. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the Scripture said these things were coming. Flooding, catastrophic flooding that is taking lives and taking people's lives. Earthquakes in diverse places. We were on riding back with Brother Nathaniel, and he was talking to his wife on the phone. They having earthquakes and tremors while he's on the phone. It's happening. The world is shaping up just like Jesus said it would. This is not a time to miss what God is doing. I want to make sure I'm part of it. There's got to be unity. There's got to be that bond that holds us together. We've got to stand. And that's what we need today. That's what I need to know. That's what the church needs to know today. We will never succeed without unity. We'll never see. We can come together, have a good time, enjoy each other's company. But we're never going to see God do what he wants to do in this city if we can't get together. Hello? If this is your church, be a part of your church. You hear me? Is there anything for me to do? Yes, there's something for you to do. Oh, just ask me and my wife, we'll tell you. Ask my son and my daughter-in-law, they'll tell you. There's plenty of things to do in this church. We need all hands on deck, and we need everybody together. Plenty to do. If this is your church, If Restoration Apostolic Church is your home, be here every time you can. I know there's things that happen to keep us from being here. I know that work stops us sometimes. I know we get sick sometimes. I get that. You know me. If you've been under my pastorship for a while, you know that I don't crack the whip on people. But I am telling you as your pastor, faithfulness and commitment is powerful in your walk with God. And the church can't survive without faithfulness and commitment. I don't want to put a for sale sign in the yard because we couldn't get nobody here. I'm not mad at nobody. But I'm telling you that it couldn't happen then when it was at its most perfect state. It sure can't happen now. We've got to be together. We've got to be in one mind and one accord. We've got to be unanimous about this. We've got to have unity in the church. I would never want to be a part of a disunified church. What a mess that would be. We must be together. Paul prayed, and he wrote in the letter to the Colossians, he said, I want all the saints to be knit together. It means united. The word there means to drive together, to unite. He said, I want the saints to be, you know, something's going to drive us together. When this world starts shaking, we're going to start getting together. But I don't want to wait then. I don't want to be trying to catch up. I want to already be, I know about praying with my brother or sister. I know about being part of the body. I know what it's like to be knit together with the saints in love. I know what it's about. I know what it is. I'm throwing notes everywhere. I'm trying to just see what the Lord would say. There's a saying that I love. It's a quote that I've kept because it works in unifying this unifying mindset so good. I don't even know who this guy is, and I don't even think I ever looked him up. I just read his quote one time. I said, I'll give him credit for it because I don't want nobody to think I said it originally, but I do believe in this. He said, none of us lives in isolation. We're in it together. And some conflict along the way is inevitable. But our highest priority when all is said and done has to be commitment to each other, sticking together. We're going to have differences of opinions. We're going to have different styles, different tastes, different manners, different ways of doing things. But when it's all said and done, what matters most is that we stick together. We must unite and stick together. I don't want a church that all just sounds alike. I love all these accents going on. I love all these good old country southern accents that are in here. Some of us talking, it's like somebody's baking a can of cornbread. Just country. I wish Brother Spalding was here, man, because I love his accent. I love that Boston accent. Brother Nathaniel, I even like that Minnesota, bro. I love that. I love it. I love all of it. I love it because it's just a picture of what the church should be. We shouldn't be all just saying the same, sounding the same, and we got different styles we like to wear, and some of you dudes like to wear shoes with no socks, and I don't get that at all, man. And whew, I just can't get with that. But hey, it's for you. You look good in it. That's y'all, man. I can't do that. I ain't putting my 57-year-old foot in a shoe without no socks on. It ain't happening. I didn't grow up in that stage. That ain't me. But I love it. I love watching what y'all do. I love you worshiping God with no socks on. I love it. I love seeing what's happening in the church. God's good. And God's doing it. Yeah, you ought to clap your hands that you're a part of a church that we can be a little different. But when it all comes down to the line, we're together. You ever watched one of them championship sports teams? If somebody happens to be out like in the hallway of the locker room and they just won the Super Bowl, whatever, and every one of them dudes walking out looked different. You'd be like, they're on the field, they all got the uniform on. You can't even tell who they are with the helmet on. That's why they got numbers and names. But then they come out, man, some of them wearing these crazy clothes. Chains all the way down to here and stuff going on. They just, each one, and then here comes one out looks like a cowboy, and then here comes one looking like something. I got to quit because I won't say nothing offensive, but every one of them, but they all play for the same team. When it comes down to time, they sticking together. And when it comes down to the time, we're sticking together. Because that's what matters most, that we are committed to each other. We are lifting one another up. We are praying for one another. We are speaking faith to one another. We're encouraging one another in their ministries. We're making sure that we're not losing people along the way. We're doing our best to hold on to everybody. I know that you can't just force people to serve and to stay, but it ought to tear your hands up holding on to the rope while they're trying to go. Praise God. We're all one spirit. We are all baptized in the one body. Jew or Gentile, this is 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. We've all been made to drink into one spirit. You look around this room, you're going to see difference, styles, taste, likes, dislikes, personalities, skin colors, nationalities. I love it. Lord, give us somebody from every nation. Give us somebody from every nation. Give us somebody from every nation. We need that. That's what it all looked like. I know sometimes people live in a demographic where maybe that doesn't happen, but we got the whole world on that campus. We got the whole world living in our city. People from every country living in our cities. And we need to get them in here, worshiping God with them. Praise God. Get them into the house of the Lord. And when we look around, we see that. But what we also see, we see past that, is we see the body. We see our family in Christ. We see our team. We see our troop, our corps, our platoon. We see our brother and our sister. We see our prayer partners. We see our encouragers. We see the shoulders that we lean on. We must be together. We must be together. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to be together. We're in this together. There's going to always be differences among us. But those differences should never grow large enough to divide us. The world loves to magnify differences because it wants to divide. But the church realizes that if we can just preach the gospel, and if people that we may not agree with in this world can be filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to be baptized into the same body that I'm baptized into. That's why I don't let anybody get in this pulpit would start preaching politics, because I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I have got friends that vote blue, and they are full of the Holy Ghost and fire, and I love them. I got friends that vote red, and they're full of the Holy Ghost and fire, and I love them. Because what matters at the end of the day is where are we going to wind up. And I'm not going to not pray for my brother that voted a different way than I voted. And if you wouldn't pray for him because they didn't vote for your candidate, woo, the altar's open. Come on down. I'm not going to let football teams, baseball teams separate me. People fight over that stuff. They do it. Let me tell you, I have been unified I don't even have to know everything about you. But if you tell me, brother, I've received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, well, hello. We're part of the same body. It's just like a kid, a little baby, when you start teaching them, they're like, hand, finger, eyes, ears. You're just meeting another part of the body. You know, they start learning to go ear, and they know right where it's. And you meet somebody, first time I was meeting people that can't meet this year in Georgia, I didn't even know them. How you doing? Hand, head, ear, foot, whatever you are, part of the same body. Baptized by the same Spirit into one body. You and I. You pastor way down yonder or way over yonder. I pastor here together. One mind, one accord to see revival. I made a lot of pacts, I guess you will, with other pastors this week to call each other. So when God does something in your church, I want you to call me and tell me so I can rejoice with you for what's going on in your church. If you baptize one soul, call me and tell me because I'm going to rejoice for that one. If you baptize 50, I ain't going to be mad about it. I'm going to rejoice in the 50 that you just baptized in Jesus' name because we're all working for the same kingdom. We're all doing the same things. And so the differences that we have don't stop who we are. But if we're not careful, they can stop what we'll be. We got to be careful. We must be together. Tell your neighbor, we must be together. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Everyone members one of another. We're connected. We're connected. And I don't want to lose any members. I don't want to lose any members. I don't want nothing to disconnect. I want to make sure that I'm staying united together with my brothers and my sisters. And let me tell you, I'm going to rejoice over them brand new ones as much as I rejoice over any of them. Because one time I was brand new, and somebody rejoiced over me. I can tell you one of the reasons I'm still in this thing today is because from the beginning, I was spoiled. What do you mean? Buddy, them church people loved me sick. I'm telling you, just loved me, prayed for me, put up with me, hung in there with me, fasted with me, got on to me, whatever I needed. But, buddy, it worked. It let me know somebody's in my corner. Somebody's on my side. So let me tell you, I'm on your side. This pastor's on your side. This pastor's on your side. Am I preaching that bad? This pastor is on your side. Praise God. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Let me tell you, friends, we are one. Our God is one, and we are one. Jesus prayed. Hey, Jesus don't pray a prayer that don't get answered. And Jesus prayed that we'd be one. I sure don't want to be the reason that prayer goes unanswered. Jesus prayed that we would be one. So let's be one. Anybody ever took literature? You probably read The Three Musketeers. The most famous quote from that book is this: all for one and one for all. Look at that. Y'all quote that like scripture. All for one, one for all. United we stand, divided we fall. Well, maybe this Alexandre Dumas, maybe he read scripture. Because Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 25 that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself it shall not stand. Unity, unity, unity. Father, I pray that they'll be one as we're one. I pray that they'll be one. He was praying in earnest, looking at those that he loved. I don't want them to be scattered. I don't want them to be all over the place. I don't want them to be isolated and by themselves. I don't want them to be just alone and picked off one at a time, but I want them to be united. I want them to be one. No divisions in the body. No divisions in the body. You get a division in your body, you got to get surgery, get sewed up. So everything will be where it's supposed to be. We need each other. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, I'm getting close to being done. Don't worry. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I know introverts don't like that scripture. Oh, I don't like to people with a bunch of people. I sure don't want people, individual people, it's harder. In a crowd, I can hide. Two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that's alone when he falls. Get out there by yourself and fall, who's going to help you? Get out there by yourself and things start going wrong, who's going to help you? You need your church, you need your brother, you need your sister. He has not another to help him up. Verse 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I've taught that threefold cord so many times. One strand of rope by itself, it's got a certain amount of strength, but when you wrap it, when you bind it together, when it's twisted together, each strand lends strength to the other. And now it's three times as strong as it was. And it can pull more weight. It can hold more things. It can do more. It's not easily broken. One, you might can break it. But with three, it's not easily broken. I remember Brother Everhart always telling that story about man had these sons. He said, I want you to go gather up some sticks. And you've probably heard this analogy before, but he said, bring them to me. And the dad took one stick and he snapped it. He said, one by itself is easily broken. He said, give me all of them. He put them all together and bound them. He said, but when you're together, when you're bound together, he said, it might bend, but it don't break. It's going to take something to break it. Let me tell you, Jesus said, I'm building a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, my church, the strength is going to be in that unity. It's going to be united. United we stand, but divided we fall. Friend, we're going to stick together. All for one, one for all. Look at your neighbor, tell them, say, I'm for you. Let's stick together. Let's stick together. Let's get behind the vision. Let's get behind the mission. Let's get behind the church. Hey, this ain't my church. It's the Lord's church. I'm the pastor. I'm the overseer. I'm the watchman on the wall. But it ain't my church. It's our church. Let's get behind it. Nehemiah was so upset at the walls being broke down that he prayed and cried, and God put his hand on him. And it said they built the wall back because the people had a mind to work. 52 days, and they put those walls and gates back up, and it only happened because they had a mind to work. And just like Nehemiah had enemies, they were people coming against him. They wanted to destroy and stop the work of the Lord. We have enemies today. I told you earlier that roaring lion is going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy our unity because he can't do anything against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But when one member gets off by himself, gets isolated, friend, that's easy pickings. Be careful. You can't do it. You can't isolate yourself. Connect yourself with the body. Connect yourself with the church. This roaring lion is going about trying to destroy the unity of God's people. We can't let that happen. We've got to stick together. Stay together. Remember this. Winston Churchill said, when there is no enemy within, then the enemy outside cannot hurt you. When we don't have enemies inside these four walls, inside the church, inside the body, the enemy outside can't do nothing to you. Let me tell you, if there's anybody in this room that thinks today, Pastor's my enemy, then I want you to come here right now. And in front of everybody, we're fixing to fix it. I am not your enemy. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter what I preach, I am not your enemy. I am beseeching you in his stead. I am saying, please be reconciled to God. When I preach about this doctrine and standing firm on this doctrine, it's not because I hate other people that don't believe this doctrine. I simply see the need for it in the scripture, but I am nobody's enemy in the body. I'm not anybody's enemy. And when there's no enemy within, nothing outside can get you. As long as we stick together, no matter what the enemy throws at us, it won't matter. There are going to be times of trouble and trial in this world, and sometimes it may try to come into the church, but we can resolve that because God designed this body just like he designed this body to heal itself. You know your body will heal itself? God designed it like that. It happens. You ever got a little cut and a little while later, I can't even tell where that was. What happened? The body just healed it, took care of it, closed it up, fixed it. God put things in this body, forgiveness, mercy, grace, long-suffering, kindness, charity. He put all that in this body. When he baptizes by that Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow through us, and that keeps the body well. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Over and over again, it's that same mind. We've got to have the same mindset about this thing. We've got to be in a unanimous understanding that this is what Jesus wants for the church, for us to be together. Jesus said it, a house divided cannot stand. I don't want to see us fall. I don't want to see us lose out. I want us to win. I want us to win this race, and I want us to win souls for the kingdom. The scripture says we have been given a ministry of reconciliation, the ability to restore. Let's don't let that be an untapped resource today in the church, because churches are closing their doors because they don't know how to reconcile. They don't know how to be kind. They don't know how to have mercy. And they can't grow because nobody wants to go to that unhappy place. But when they see, what did Jesus say? This is how they'll know you're my disciples. When you have love one for another. When you begin to love each other as I have loved you. When people see that, they'll know that you're my disciples. You're not a knockoff. You're not just a gathering, but you are my disciples. And friend, let me tell you, people are looking for the real thing. But we can never show them the real thing without love. We've got to have the love of God. It seems easier sometimes to just walk away. Say, well, somebody else can do it. But I can't think of a single soul that I want to see lost today. If you think you know somebody and you'd like to see them lost, altar. It shouldn't be anybody, because if it's not the Lord's will that any perish, then it can't be my will either. And if I can reconcile and restore and help people, if we can learn to do that, we're going to start cutting our losses and we're going to see a church that walks in victory. That sounds like a good church, don't it? Anybody want to be that church? Anybody feel like being that church? Are we ready to put all hands in and believe and see revival for our lives, for our church, for our city, for our schools? Are you ready? I'm ready to do that. Let's come to the music. I got a call for you so I can get out of here. There are great things coming to the church. In Mark 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Ain't no way around it. That's how it is. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then after the Lord spoke to them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following, workers together with them. These are the things that are coming to the believers. These are the things that they have been instructed to do, and God has given us power to do these things. Are we ready? We are unstoppable. The church cannot be stopped with God on our side. And I'm telling you, I am telling you, as sure as I'm standing flat-footed on this platform, that together we can change the world. We can change. We can start seeing a revival that the news reporters, they won't believe it. We can start seeing things that your friends and family, they ain't going to believe it. When this church can just get united and stand together and be ready to see a move of God. Let me tell you, people, some's going to come to see the show, and some's going to come because they're going to want to know, how do I get in this? How can I be a part of something like this? We've got to show it to the world. We've got to let our light shine. We've got to tell somebody today about the love of God. We've got to do it. Stand with me. A man by the name of Ken Levine said this: what is a drop of rain compared to the storm? We don't complain too much about maybe just one rain drop, but when it's a storm, we have seen what storms can do to our landscape. We've witnessed that over the last few weeks, and we see what happens when storms come. But this man, he posed the question, what is a drop of rain? If you've got crops, you want more than a drop of rain. If you've got seed planted in the field, you want more than just one drop of rain. Hello. We're in a drought, we want more than one drop of rain. So what is one drop of rain compared to the storm? Or what is a thought compared to the mind? Our unity is full of wonder, which tiny individualism cannot even conceive. The unity of the church, there's nothing to compare to it. The unity of believers in Christ, there ain't nothing that compares to it. We can do things, we can have faith, and God can work through us, but as a unified body, being part of the body, we are more than just one drop of rain. But we are the perfect storm of Holy Ghost and fire. When a storm comes, it changes things. It can be so strong that it actually moves things. And it can be so awesome in power that it begins to wash things away. It can change the landscape. This church can change the landscape. Yo, Athens, very liberal town. The Holy Ghost can change that. UGA is a very liberal campus. The Holy Ghost could change that. Yeah. It can happen. And if we can stick together, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We have the ability together to make a difference. I'm almost done. I promise you, I'm right here at the end. Thomas Paine, when the colonies of the United States, those colonial colonies, were seeking their independence, they knew that Britain was a great force. But Thomas Paine, he wrote this, that it is not in numbers, but it is in unity that our great strength lies. He said, yet our present numbers are sufficient to repel the force of all the world. The continent has at this time the largest body of armed and disciplined men of any power under heaven, and it has just arrived at that pitch of strength in which no single colony is able to support itself. And the whole, when united, is able to do anything. You wonder why they won that war? Because they were united. It wasn't because they were so trained. It wasn't because they had the most. It was because they were united. And I will tell the Restoration Apostolic Church, Regeneration Youth, the field, you may not be the biggest in number, but being unified as God wants will make you stronger than ever before. If one can put 1,000 to flight, listen, you will be able to do all things through Christ. By ourselves we are weak, but together we can do anything. The greatest athlete in the world still needs his team. A running back can't hand the ball off to himself. Yeah? gotta have somebody. We are going to see miracles, people saved, and victories won together. We're going to see loved ones come back home. In Jesus' name, we're going to see it together. Let me tell you, when people walk away from church, they're going to always look back at the church to see, is it falling apart? If when they see it standing, they're going to realize the prodigal son went out. He took stuff from home. Stability. The stability that was at home, he got his portion and took it. But outside, it just wasted away. If when he realized that this whole world is falling apart around me and I don't have anything, he thought back, the Father's house is still there. And that's where he wanted to go. If we stay unified and stay in this thing and stick to this, let me tell you, them loved ones, them lost loved ones, they're going to turn around and see the church is still standing, that the saints of God are still together, that we're still preaching and praying and loving each other. And they're going to say, I want to go back to that. I want to come home. I want to get back. I want to go where things are stable again. Unity. One great Greek scholar said, where there is unity, there is always victory. I know some people looking at, Pastor, you don't really believe that. You got your head in the clouds. Just let me dream. Call friend, dreams come true. I believe that we can be a Book of Acts church. Not just that has demonstration of the Spirit and good church service, but I believe there's part of this Book of Acts church that we need to at least be striving for, and that's unity.
Yes.
I know, I said it, on that day, it was perfect. It ain't had time to mess up yet. Paul would write some of his letters. He said, after I'm gone, there's going to be some creeping in trying to destroy things. It's going to happen. And I know through the years that doctrines of men and devils have gotten in and things have got separated. But I do believe that God's church can have the kind of unity that it had at its birth. I believe if he can make all things new, then I believe he can still work in every one of us and bring back a unity that this world has never seen before. Not in our time. But they can begin to see a church united under the banner and under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can see the church of the living God in action, loving people, reaching for people, signs and wonders and miracles. Yeah, we're going to have that. But the biggest, greatest miracle that will ever happen in this country is unity.
Yes.
Because this is a country that's just ready to be divided. But the church can reach to that side. Reach to that side and say, in the name of Jesus, let's put them together. Let's pull people together. Let's put them together. Let's connect them. Let's fasten them together. Let's knit them together in love. That's the church of the living God. And that's the church that we're a part of. And that's the mission, saints. That's the mission for souls. There'll be no souls without unity.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.